Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And a man who has been on both sides in that war is our first guest. He is Dr. Tawfiq Hamid, medical doctor by training, but a man who formerly was associated with Jamaat Islamiyah in his native Egypt. He worked with Ayman al-Zawahiri, now the leader of al-Qaeda. He knows from inside the belly of the beast the danger posed to all of us by radical Islam. This is the subject of a book he has written entitled Inside Jihad, Understanding and Confronting Radical Islam. Today, Tawfiq is a senior fellow and chair for the study of Islamic radicalism at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies. Tawfiq, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us.
Pleasure to be with you, Frank.
I'd like to start by drilling down with you about a group that I believe, objectively, is very much at the forefront of Islamic radicalism, as you call it, inside jihad, for that matter. The Muslim Brotherhood is an outfit that is being treated as, responsible interlocutors, indeed go-to resources for the Obama administration. Is that a serious strategic error?
Of course it is a serious strategic error, because it seems that the administration does not know anything about the phenomena of radical Islam. If they analyze the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood, it's not much different from any jihadi group. All what the Brotherhood are doing is they represent the nice face, smiley face of the jihadi group that can sit with you on table and pretend that they are civilized. However, the reality on ground is showing the opposite. For example, when Mohamed Morsi came to power in Egypt, he released the radical jihadists from the prisons who are now currently causing troubles in the country. And number two, he invited many of the killers of President Sadat to his palace, and then even to celebrate the 6th October war celebration. So he invited them to his palace. And after the June 30 revolution, many of the leading members of this group actually clearly stated that the terrorism in Sinai will stop only and immediately if Mohamed Morsi came back to power. So you deal with a group that is very affiliated with the radical groups. They do not object to any of their teaching, and they just play the most dangerous game. In fact, they are more dangerous than the jihadists, because the jihadists are clear that they are violent, barbaric people, but these people are the ones who are behind the money, finance, and support, and the gradual infiltration, which can be more dangerous to our society and to the world than the clearly apparent jihadists that you can fight, because you know they are evil.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tawfiq, and that's one of the things that I was particularly anxious to hear from you. These guys are, as one of my colleagues, John Guandolo, is fond of saying, the nicest guys in the room. That's part of the trade craft. But they are, in fact, particularly in the West, where they are not opposed to violence. It's just they don't feel strong enough to engage in it. Instead, performing a kind of what they call civilization jihad. And I couldn't agree with you more that that is at least as dangerous to democratic polities like ours as is the violent kind. Talk, if you would, a little bit about what it means in Egypt at the moment, as President al-Sisi is clearly trying to grapple with a host of very serious economic and other demographic problems, and the Muslim Brotherhood now in a very, well, they call it a new phase in which they are expecting a long and uncompromising struggle, and they pray for martyrdom. What does it mean to an al-Sisi that the U.S. government is embracing these guys, meeting with them in the State Department, meeting with their American front organization leaders in the White House?
It simply means that the U.S., based on this attitude that you just mentioned, is is interested in supporting radical Islam rather than the other way around. And in simple words, instead of taking the most logical thing that most Americans actually want, which is to defeat radical Islam, they are actually encouraging it. The more they embrace the Brotherhood, the more they allow them to sit with them on table, the more it's creating pressure on Al-Sisi, and not only that, it's encouraging the radicals to become more radical. That is the phenomena that many need to understand here in the U.S., that the psychological factors here play a major role. When they see you here in America accepting and celebrating the Muslim Brotherhood, the people, they do not stop their terrorism and they increase it. So what President Obama is doing here is actually aggravating terrorism in the Middle East and aggravating the violence. And they need to know this, that their actions here causes a lot of trouble there. And if they do not stop such accommodation for the Brotherhood, they should not expect anything, but things will get much worse and worse.
You know, Tawfiq, I'm struck by a kind of element of Quranic teaching that says when, you know, you see the infidel submitting, the appropriate response is to make them feel subdued. So it's as you say, a prescription for more jihad, more violence to effect this sort of permanent dimitude.
Concessions from your side can only aggravate the problem. You need to have a clear stand beside someone like Sisi, who stood for the first time in our history of the Middle East to see a leader standing in front of the Islamic scholars eye to eye, a few meters away from them, telling them clearly we need a revolution in Islam. And he was talking here about the violent religious teaching. So when you have some guy like this, you need to support him fully rather than trying to do the opposite and support his opponent as if the U.S. that used a lot of taxpayer money to fight radicalism in Afghanistan and as they say, and in Iraq as well, they are the ones, the same leaders who are, or not the same ones, I mean individually, but it seems very schizophrenic to, on one hand, spend all this money to fight Islamic radicalism, and on the other hand, not to stand beside President Al-Sisi in his war against the radicals. This seems to be very ironic and bizarre.
Tawfiq, before we have to let you go, let me just ask you about one other question. Again, our guest is Dr. Tawfiq Hamid, a senior fellow and chair for the study of Islamic radicalism at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies and a former, well, jihadist in Egypt. About this speech by al-Sisi at Al-Azhar, one of the things I was so struck by was when he made this appeal, this challenge to the sort of fundamental problem of our time, which is this global jihadism and the ideology that its adherents at least call Sharia, he did not call out the Islamic State. He did not call out al-Qaeda. He did not call out the Muslim Brotherhood, his arch enemies at the moment. He went, as you say, to the Holy of Holies, really, in Islam, the Al-Azhar University scholars. And he challenged them. And as you say, he not only asked for a revolution, but he really laid at their feet the problem that is afflicting so many inside the Islamic world and out. Why is that of such consequence in your judgment? And what does it portend for his future, as well as that of your native Egypt?
First of all, Egypt is a leader in the area. So whatever happens in Egypt, it really it affects the other neighboring countries. So if Egypt reforms, brings another understanding of Islam that can be compatible with our modern civilization, if this happened, all the area can start to change in the same direction. This is number one, because we have very powerful media, and typically Egyptians have influence on the surrounding area. So this can affect Africa, can affect other countries in the Middle East in a positive way. The second is that challenge that Al-Sisi put to the Islamic scholars actually embarrassed them and is pushing them forward to start making some change. I don't know yet if the change will be real and genuine and effective or not, but at least Al-Azhar University just a few days ago declared that they will stop teaching the violent text in their education and they will bring some new curricula from the next year. So this is an immediate effect of Assisi teaching.
I agree with you completely, and this is one of the reasons why the president's investment in the Muslim Brotherhood, as opposed to el-Sisi, is so fraught with peril. Tawfiq Hamid, please do come back to us again very soon. This is a fascinating conversation, and we've much more to learn from you. We appreciate what you do at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies, and we'll look forward to a further visit soon. Diana West is up next. We'll take stock with her of some of these same questions straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.